You are listening to the Polemics Report, a ministry designed to train the powers of your discernment with constant practice, that you might be skilled in the word of righteousness.
Listen, folks, we are in the modern day downgrade. The church has to wake up and realize that we've become theologically inept. We've got to become Bereans.
The downgrade is upon us. The walls are closing in. What will you do? And how will you stand? Stay tuned as answers are given for how you can withstand the modern day downgrade. This is your polemicist, J.D. Hall.
Hello, and you are listening to the Polemics Report Weekend Edition, the ministry designed to do what Hebrews 5 exhorts us to do, to train the powers of our discernment through constant practice, so that we might be skilled in the word of righteousness. As Spurgeon said, discernment is not telling the difference between right and wrong, but between right and almost right. And ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things in American evangelicalism that are almost right. We engage in polemic theology, reproving and rebuking, in keeping with Paul's instruction that we do those two things with patience and teaching. You can listen to the regular Polemics Report on Sermon Audio or iTunes, or by going to polemicsreport.com. Before we get started, let me remind you that Polemics Report is listener-supported radio, and you can donate to cover our broadcast expenses at polemicsreport.com, where you can either give online or find the address to send a donation through other means. Well, this week, two interesting and polarizing figures went at each other in social media, and the shockwaves were felt around the nation in various media outlets. One of the figures claims to be an evangelical. The other individual claims to hate the word evangelical because, well, the first figure calls themselves one. One figure is blamed for being too conservative at times. The other figure could rightly be accused of not being conservative enough. One figure is a politician. The other figure is, well, best described as a political operative operating under a 501c3. One figure won't release his tax statements. The other figure's organization doesn't have tax statements because it doesn't pay taxes. One figure is the presumptive nominee for the Republican primary. The other figure is lead ethicist of the Southern Baptist Convention, Russell Moore. In a bizarre and ironic twist of fate from the days that Richard Land ran the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, in this scenario, Donald Trump is the conservative, at least compared to Russell Moore, who, in many ways, is a social progressive. Many of us never thought we'd live to see the day that the primary politically oriented Southern Baptist leader would dine at the White House and have friendly brunches with Barack Obama and smiley photos taken at the White House with a Democratic president, and yet, at the same time, oppose so vehemently the Republican presidential nominee. And Moore's detestation of Donald Trump has been so palpable, one could rightly surmise that should Trump win the presidency, Southern Baptists will probably, well, they'll probably be in the doghouse for the next 4 to 8 years with no representative to lobby for our, well, what we believe to be a biblical worldview. Now, whereas Russell Moore's public negative comments about Democratic candidates Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton are all but non-existent, Moore, who is a former Democratic staffer himself, has been on record ad nauseum challenging vehemently Donald Trump. And this week, the two finally and directly butted heads in social media. As Time magazine writes, Donald Trump attacked the president of the Southern Baptist Convention's policy arm. Russell Moore, Donald Trump says, is truly a terrible representative of evangelicals and all of the good they stand for, a nasty guy with no heart. The fight between Moore and Trump has been brewing for months, and now it is exposing deep fault lines in the evangelical community over the presumptive GOP nominee. Now, Time magazine goes on to report, quite accurately, that Moore has pushed to expand the platform of the ERLC, advocating for immigration reform and racial justice, especially in the face of poverty, police brutality, and mass incarceration. And to do so, as Pulpit and Pen has reported, Russell Moore has gone so far as to claim that Jesus is an illegal alien. I'm unaware of what Egyptian border laws Mary and Joseph broke, but to a social progressive like Russell Moore, a little bit of scripture twisting is rarely a barrier to pushing for liberal reform. Moore had recently attacked Trump in an op-ed for the New York Times entitled A White Church No More that directly called out Trump by name for a campaign that has, quote, cast light on the darkness of pent-up nativism and bigotry all over the country. Moore said that the evangelical church in the U.S. is no longer the, quote, old white precinct captains in Iowa or the, quote, old white television evangelists. Well, Trump responded in kind on Twitter, saying that Russell Moore, again, is truly a terrible representative of evangelicals and is a nasty guy with no heart. Moore, in typical evangelical intelligentsia fashion, then responded graciously. He quoted scripture and received accolades for giving a soft answer to turn away Trump's wrath. Many, apparently, however, oblivious to the fact that Moore has been incessantly, almost daily, repeatedly denigrating Trump, and to my knowledge, this is the first time that Trump has responded in kind. Well, this didn't go unnoticed by all, however. Robert Jeffress, a Southern Baptist pastor widely known for his political activism, wrote in an email to the Christian Post saying, quote, Trump's response to Moore was not unprovoked. Moore has been launching vitriolic attacks not only against Donald Trump's policies, but also personal attacks against his character. Jeffress also wrote that when you keep, quote, poking the bear, don't be surprised when the bear takes a bite out of you. Well, I find Jeffress's analysis truthful and accurate, even though I can't always agree with him. I think he was right this time. That didn't prevent many intelligentsia leaders out in mass, however, to defend the Southern Baptist social progressive darling with men like, well, Professor Denny Burke at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, claiming that somehow Donald Trump attacked our religious liberty by criticizing Moore. I find that alarmism to be insincere and unintellectual. But what's more telling is the deep divide in evangelicalism on one topic in particular, and it happens to be the underlying issue that has created this animosity between Moore and Trump, and it's the issue of immigration. The Christian Post reported in March of last year that 9 in 10 evangelicals want a border wall. 91% of evangelical pastors, according to the study, want the government to enforce current immigration walls. But on the other side, in that 9% who don't want immigration laws enforced and certainly don't want a border wall are who I would call the evangelical intelligentsia, our evangelical leaders and overlords who serve, for the most part, parachurch ministries, holding positions in academia, think tanks, and entities like the SBC's ERLC. The ones at the top, like Russell Moore, are pushing as hard as they can to get the rest of us to believe that immigration law enforcement and or a border wall is somehow unchristian. Now, this is nothing new among liberal organizations like the Huffington Post and their religion column or Jim Wallace's Sojourners, but it is a new trend among supposedly conservative organizations like the Southern Baptist Convention. And so here is where we apply polemics, a little bit of discernment to our theology. What does the scripture say about immigration, if it says anything at all? Well, Russell Moore, in January of this year, likened a border wall to sin and idolatry, calling it a, quote, golden calf. The National Review called Moore an open border zealot. And Russell Moore serves on the evangelical immigration table funded by none other than George Soros. Yes, that's right. The SBC is effectively in league with major Democratic donor, globalist, and billionaire George Soros. And along with the SBC is the Roman Pontiff, who said this year that, quote, building walls is not Christian. Well, I ask the question, what does the scripture say about immigration and border security? Christian ethics is derived largely, and ironically enough, not primarily from New Testament texts, but from the Old Testament. While the Sermon on the Mount is certainly the locus classicus text on Christian ethics in the New Testament, it is the Old Testament's witness to us, codified in the laws given to the nation of Israel, which now no longer are obligatory, but still inform us as to the basic sense of how we are to love our neighbor, that provide us the largest and most robust understanding of Christian ethics. Also important, of course, are the stories in the Old Testament that deal with issues relating to border security and what we can learn from them. You might remember, for example, that the entire book of Nehemiah is dedicated to the building of a border wall by God's divine decree that was designed to keep out the foreigner. The wall was built, if you remember, with armed workers who were prepared to shed blood, if necessary, to keep their city-state safe. We see in Exodus chapter 23, God established Israel's hard and firm borders that were to be maintained and respected by that nation and by other nations. That border was so important that it was reiterated again and again in Scripture in places like Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 19. And we see that God's judgment and curses upon Israel for their disobedience typically included a disrespect of Israel's border from other nations. In other words, when God was punishing Israel, other nations would disrespect their borders. When God's blessing returned to Israel, what returned often was the respect for Israel's national borders. We see this in places like Amos chapter 9, verse 15. What open border zealots who twist scripture usually cling to are admonitions to not abuse the alien or the sojourner found in places like Leviticus 19, Exodus 23, or Deuteronomy chapter 10. And while it is certainly true that Christians must demonstrate compassion to the needy, it does not mean that there is a certain class of people who are exempt from obeying Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, which tell us the government and its laws must be submitted to, that the government carries the sword to punish those who do wicked and break the nation's laws, and they are permitted to reward those who do not break that nation's laws. But perhaps most pertinent is this law, found codified into Israel's civil code in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17. It says this, "Cursed be he who removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen." You see, the scripture says, "Cursed is he." Cursed is he who disrespects his neighbor's property boundaries. And when we see the costs and consequences of immigration lawlessness, any serious observer might readily call it a curse upon our nation. The fact is, it is abundantly disrespectful to the Word of God to do what Russell Moore and certain other liberal evangelicals have done, which is to twist the scripture to make it seem that God somehow disavows or disagrees with firm national borders and border walls. It's also disingenuous for religious leaders like the Pope or Russell Moore to claim walls are sinful when the Pope's Vatican is surrounded by walls and Russell Moore lives in an upscale gated community. It is not biblical to claim that national boundaries are bad. Rather, it's bleeding heart liberalism, and worse yet, it's globalism. Russell Moore's job is not to incite political riots or pester political candidates, and if it is, the IRS should think about taking away the ERLC's tax exemption. However, the ERLC stands for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Russell Moore should be fighting not against a Republican presidential nominee, but should be fighting for religious liberty. And there is no greater threat to religious liberty than unabashed globalism. Globalism is defined as the attitude or policy of placing the interests of the entire world above those of individual nations. Clearly, this is the mission of the SBC's ERLC under the tenure of Russell Moore. I repeat again the definition. Globalism is the attitude or policy of placing the interests of the entire world above those of individual nations. Moore attacked Trump's slogan, "Make America Great Again," in a Washington Post editorial in January. By the way, credit to where credit is due, Moore in that article actually provided good polemics on the abuse of 2 Chronicles 7:14, the "If my people who are called by my name" verse you've heard so much. But the editorial really wasn't about setting us straight on a common scripture twisting, but to attack the notion that Christians should care about the success of our nation, which Moore calls nativism in a pejorative. Moore attacked the slogan, "America First," on social media just recently, again, deferring to globalism as the default Christian position. And globalism, of course, is the mission of the Soros immigration group of which he is a part. Globalism always has and always will, however, demand an end to unfettered religious freedom. What's keeping the world from becoming one, more than anything, isn't borders, but it's a clash of civilizations that can be, well, summarized best, really, as a clash of world religions. Religion is a barrier to globalism. The globalists know it, and that's why religious liberty is constantly under the assault of the very globalists for whom Russell Moore has yoked the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, I'll leave you with the words of Charles Spurgeon, that great British preacher from the 19th century. Spurgeon said this. He said, "Seeking the good of the country as aliens, we must also remember that it behooves aliens to keep themselves very quiet. What business has the foreigner to plot against the government or to intermeddle with the politics of a country in which they have no citizenship? So in this land of ours, where you and I are strangers, we must be orderly sojourners, submitting ourselves constantly to those who are in authority, leading orderly and peaceable lives, and according to the command of Holy Scripture through the apostles, honoring all men, fearing God, honoring the King, submitting ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I cannot say that I delight in political Christians. I fear that party strife is a serious trial to all believers and cannot reconcile our heavenly citizenship with the schemes of the hustlings and the riot of the polling booth. Thank you for listening to Polemics Report. You can listen online to all the Polemics Report programs at Sermon Audio or iTunes. If you can donate on the website, it would be much appreciated. PolemicsReport.org. God bless you, and until next time, as always, Semper Reformata.